Well, Dr. Stephen Liss is not a stranger to this place. We've had him here a number of times. We're always blessed when he comes. And Ricardo, his son-in-law, is with him. Thank you for driving him down from Murfreesboro. This is kind of a last-minute thing. Dr. Liss called me, I think it was on Wednesday, telling me that he was on a ministry trip and he's come back through Murfreesboro, where Ricardo and Dr. Liss' daughter now lives. They moved there recently, and he's just 2.5 hours away. I said, would you consider coming and being with us this Father's Day? That'd just be perfect for us. And so here he is, and we're always delighted when he's here to minister. We want to bless him when he's here. If you saw that, if you can go back, that yes, this is one way you can bless him, through text to giving, or if you want to just put a memo in the bottom of a check and say, speaker, we'll have our ushers with baskets when the service concludes. We're going to bless him. If you want to be a part of that blessing, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. But again, we're so grateful to have you here, Dr. List, and enjoy just knowing you. He calls me often. We get to fellowship. We've been on some trips together, and I've learned so much from him. Thank you for having a father heart. And on this Father's Day, we say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the audience this morning, and especially to you. Would you come and minister to us? Amen. We love you dearly.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. It's what a joy to be with you again in the house of the Lord this Father's Day. And I'm so delighted to have my son-in-law with us. He's the number one son-in-law in the family. We just flew in from Raleigh, North Carolina. We live on the West Coast, and they have moved to Murfreesboro and Tennessee. And so we wanted to stop on the way back home from Raleigh and enjoy the granddaughters, and grandmother is really enjoying her time. I woke up yesterday and found out my wife was not in bed with me. She went to, and came to find out the granddaughter had got her and took her out and took her to her bed. And so it was grandma and granddaughter's time of just enjoying each other together. But it's beautiful to see that. My, this is a wonderful time to be alive, and it's exciting. Amen? Praise the Lord. What times are these that we're living in? Who would have known these things would have happened during this period of time in our life? I remember, I'm just going to try, is it okay, rather than preach at you, I want to talk to you. Is that okay? And just share some things that God's been doing, and it's so exciting. Because this is a time of which God has prepared each one of us for as we enter into that moment of time. I've just enjoyed celebrating my 81st birthday, and it's exciting because some people ask, what are you going to be doing the next few years? I say, well, I'm planning on 20 years what God has for me if he tarries. And so we don't just wane away. We burn up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And my father-in-law, he lived with us for about 6.5 years. And my mother-in-law, and before he passed on, he was 98 years of age. And the hospice nurses asked him, they said, what's the secret for living so long? And he wasn't sick, but he was just aged. And he said, stay away from old people. I thought it was kind of cute, because I thought, well, when he said that, all of a sudden I wound up with him at I was with him at a McDonald's having coffee, and I never forget. There was a table, several tables with the retired people sitting there, and he said, "Now, Steve, listen, what they're talking about." And I listened carefully, and they were talking about their aches and their pains, and someone said, yeah, I got the same thing in my foot. Yeah, who's your doctor? And what medicine you're on? And he said, look how excited they are. He said, man, he said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to get around that stuff. I want to get it where young minds are, and people have minds that are excited about life and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I learned something from him on the wisdom of his age and how important that is. Because we've been living in these times when we've never lived before. I think of the book of Revelations. It tells us in the third chapter, verse 10, it says, "Because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." I believe that we're in that moment of time. It says that you're in that hour, and the hour is a moment of time that we're in that no one else has lived before. Prophets of old have spoke of these things, but they have not entered into it in the flesh. But here we are in this time that we're living in, and how beautiful it is, "I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." And during these times of trials and testings, we must guard our heart from fear, anxiety, frustration. I remember sitting in my office a number of months ago, and I was kind of feeling a little bit sorry for myself. And I'd say, "God, you've locked up the whole world for me to be able to travel to for these 2 years." And I was kind of having a little bit of a pity party, because I love reaching out around the world to other countries and sharing the gospel and meeting in the body of Christ around the world. And all of my travel was brought to a halt. And I was just sitting there just thinking about it. And Brother Eddie, I said, "Lord, how long is this going to go on?" And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. And it's a phone call from Colombia, South America. And on the other end was a good friend of ours. He's an evangelist. And he said, "Brothers, listen." He said, "We're doing a live podcast all through Colombia, South America. Over 3,000 have signed on churches and fellowships. They're putting up screens in the parking lot, in the sanctuaries. And we want you, if you will, to speak for 1 hour a message to the nation of Colombia." Well, I was excited. And then when the day came to do the podcast, an hour and a half before the broadcast, the phone rang and then said, "There's been a change of plans." I thought, "Oh no, it's all being canceled." They said, "We're sorry to tell you, but we just told you only Colombia is going to be listening in on this live. You know, you have the cameras on you and so forth." And he said, "There's 15 other nations, Central and South America, that are also opening their churches and their parking lots with screens to televise what you are saying to the nations of Central and South America." They said, "Not only these 15 nations, but there's also Cuba, all across Cuba, the communist country, to hear the gospel." And they said, "By the time you get through, you'll be preaching to 17 nations at one time the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to millions of people listening." I said, "Lord, you are a God of surprises. When we think we have not succeeded, God steps in." And one of the brothers of South America said to me, "Brother Stephen, this has not cost you one dime. No traveling, no going out of your house or the office and enjoying what God has brought to you." And I began to praise the Lord. For truly, he directs our footsteps. Isn't it beautiful what God is doing? And so we're hearing the reports coming in from all of these countries, people that gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, people that were set free. So we're living in times when God is moving by his Spirit. beyond our reasoning or understanding, for all his ways above the ways of men. But we thank him for it. Praise the Lord. These are exciting times. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, people are asking the questions. Brother List, where were the prophets speaking about this pandemic? Why were they silent? And I remember spending time meditating on the Lord when so many other things they were speaking forth and prophesying. And one of the things that the Lord brought to my attention was, and he said, Stephen, remember feeding the 5,000. When I fed the multitude with the loaves and the fishes, he injected something very quick into it. He asked me a question. When did that miracle of feeding the 5,000 begin? Who was the culprit that started the miracle? And I began to meditate, and this is what the answer he brought to me was. It started with the mother of that young boy that was going about her daily duties, went to the marketplace, purchased the fish and the ingredients to make the loaves of bread. She did not understand or did not realize that that was the beginning of the feeding of 5,000 people. And what the Lord spoke to me, he said, the mundane task that each one of us live in day by day can be the beginning of a miracle begin to function and impact thousands of lives. It's so important that we be obedient to what God's put together for us. And then he asked the question. And as I went through, when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, now I want you to get in the boat and cross over to the other side of Sea of Galilee, because I'm going to be going there and you prepare the way. And you know well the story in the Word of God, how they jumped into the boat and they began to cross the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by a mountain range or a mountain range that when the wind begins to blow over the mountain range, it stirs the water of the Sea of Galilee and it becomes like it begins to churn it in a circle. So if you're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, fishermen told me about this in Israel. They said you're stranded and the boat will begin to circle around and around, and the water become more tempestuous, the waves become larger until you're stuck in the middle. And I've been on the Sea of Galilee a number of times, and at one occasion when the storm was brewing, if it hadn't been for a power motorboat, a motor on the boat, we would not have got out of there. And this is what was happening. The disciples got in the boat, and you know the story well. And the waves became opposite to what they desired. And the water began to lap into the boat. In that boat was not only the disciples, but was also the 12 baskets of bread and fish that was left over. That was their security purse for the next day's meal. All in the instructions of Jesus. But notice what happened. I'm sure that when the waves hit the boat, it went into those baskets. And they panicked. How can this happen? And you know the story well. Until they feared for their life. They were on an assignment of the Master. It's so important to notice what happened. Jesus was aware of it, but he came walking on the water. He could have stood on the banks of the Sea of Galilee and said, be still. But he chose the opposite, to encompass and align himself with the disciples in the storm. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as I was meditating before the Lord spoke to me and he says, my message will always, many times, be contrary to what you are feeling. Notice his greetings. Be happy. Be happy. I don't know, I struggled with that when I was a kid in New Zealand, when my mom would paddle me. She would say, I'm doing this to you because I love you. And those whacks, you know, she said, I love you so much, I don't want to see you grow up and be a mean man. So I was trying to understand in my little brain how a whack could be a gesture of love. But I realized she was correct, because it was the correction that kept me on the straight and narrow path. Notice Jesus just said to the disciples, be happy. It's the very opposite instruction to what's going around us. There's something that God has put in us by his Holy Spirit that literally supersedes our physical emotions and reasoning. Paul and Silas were doing the will of God in ministry, and they were cast into prison, beaten and chained. And out of that predicament came forth praise. Within us is the Spirit of God that will manifest opposite to what we're feeling emotionally. For David the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I remember when the Lord was speaking to me and he said, when he rescued the disciples in the boat, he asked me this question. He said, Stephen, how many disciples would have got in the boat if I had prophesied to them ahead of time, you're going to a life-threatening storm and you're going to be sopping wet and the wind's going to prevail upon you and you're going to be screaming out, I'm drowning, I'm dying, God help me. He said, how many would have got on the boat? I don't think anybody would have. I think Peter, James, and John would have said, I don't know about you guys, but what I've heard, I'm going to go for a walk around the Sea of Galilee. It makes more sense. You see, there are times that God is quiet because he trusts us. He knows that we will survive. We will come through victorious. And as we face the future, the hour of trial, the hour of testing, he will sustain us. He will preserve us. He will meet every need. And on this Father's Day, fathers, I believe that you're going to be tested in your walk with God to hear the voice of God more clearly than you've ever heard him before as you make decisions concerning your families and your children. There's one thing I've learned in life in all these years of walking with the Lord, that you can trust him. You can trust him. It's so important in the days that lie ahead of us that we learn to hear his voice. In this Father's Day, I'm reflecting upon some wonderful memories of my dad. I remember when the Lord called my dad as a missionary to Africa in 1949, we packed up everything in Wellington, New Zealand, and we boarded that ship heading to Africa. None of us, my father and mother, had never been there. We knew nobody in Africa. But all there was the call to go to Africa. My father was saved under the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth. And I remember my dad and mother used to tell me the story of how that my dad, one evening he was celebrating a big event that happened in his life, and they were all the heads of government there at the big gala and festivities, and celebrating his victory as being one of the greatest Shakespeare actors of the British Commonwealth, which gave him fame in Hollywood and also in European movies. And at 1 o'clock in the morning in the party, he slipped out and he went walking down the street in a place called Low Hut, New Zealand. And as he was walking down the street, he had tears running down his face. And an old school buddy of his saw him coming, and they met each other on the sidewalk. And he said to my dad, "Why are you crying? You should be celebrating, because now your name is all over the newspapers and everything, and fame and all that." And my dad said to him, "I'm empty. I thought it would satisfy the hunger, but nothing has satisfied me." And all of a sudden, he said to my dad, he said, "Come with me." And he took my dad to an all-night prayer meeting that Smith Wigglesworth was having. And there my dad got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for 2 days. They thought he had had a nervous breakdown because of the festivities. And it was at that, they even got psychiatrists and doctors to examine him, because when they would talk to him, he'd talk to them in tongues. He couldn't talk anything other language until finally after 2 days it subsided. But he and my mother became sweethearts, and in the next meeting where Smith Wigglesworth came back to New Zealand, he walked up where my mother and father were sitting together, and he pointed them and he said to them, he said, "You two will become husband and wife. And God's going to call you, sir, to Africa as a missionary. And you will have children, and they will become missionaries. And their children will become missionaries around the world." And he said he just walked on. That prophecy literally came to pass. There is that second and third generation that are around the world as missionaries today. See, God's word is faithful. And as fathers, my dad, when he said, "We're going to Africa," and I remember we arrived there in Africa October the 19th, 1949, going to a country that we did not know before and didn't know anybody, but being led by the Holy Spirit. I remember as a boy, 8 years old, sitting on the suitcases in the warehouse we'd unloaded from the ship that took us 3 weeks traveling to Cape Town, South Africa. And we kept, "Dad, where are we going to go from here?" "The Lord knows, son." And we were sitting and he said, "Let's pray." And we started praying. And all of a sudden, we hear a voice echoing in the big warehouse, and there was a man running from way in the warehouse, and he was shouting out, "Are you missionaries? Come to Africa as missionaries. Are you missionaries?" And my dad said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, praise the Lord." He said, "I was at home in Cape Town in my house praying, and the Lord said, get up off your knees, take your pickup, go down to the dock and pick up a missionary family." That's how our journey began, trusting the Lord. Dads, God's going to challenge you in these days ahead to see God like you've never seen him before. Do miraculous things in your lives and in your family and in your job and in your dwelling place. And God's going to manifest himself in the hour of trial, and God's going to meet your needs like you've never known before. Is it okay? I'll just tell you some of the events that took place. I remember when we went to that man's house, he was a born-again Christian. Be aware sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He took us to his house. He fed us and blessed us. as we began our journey into 3,000 miles north into Africa. I remember the second night being in that house. Three of us boys, I was 8. My brother Jim was 9 and a half. And my other brother was 11, the oldest boy. In church in New Zealand, we sang as a trio. We always sang. And my dad loved to have us sing before he preached. And so what happened was, at 9 o'clock at night, Dad comes into our room, and we're all sleeping on the floor, and he says, "Boys, get up and get dressed." So we got dressed. "Where are we going, Dad?" "I'm going to go preach on a street corner." "Dad, it's 9 o'clock at night." "I know, boys. But God told me to go and preach." I remember we got on a bus, and that bus took us down to the docks where the ships come in, an old rundown area, and the wind was kind of blowing, and we stand there shivering, and we backed into the little shop entrance where we could stand, and across from us was an old rundown hotel where a lot of the derelicts and drunkards and all that stayed. And my dad stood there one night, that night, and he preached on John 3:16. He preached with all his heart. And I remember we looked at each other as boys and said, "I think Dad's missed it. There's nobody listening. And he's preaching a message like he's on fire. But there's not a soul listening." The only thing we saw was a drunkard staggering out of the hotel down the stairs with a bottle of whiskey, and he went around the corner in the dark and disappeared. But that didn't stop my dad. He gave an altar call to nobody. And us boys, we felt kind of, sorry. Should we step forward and, maybe the little things we had done during the week, who knows, repent of. And I would never forget, Dad just tears running down his face. And he said, "And now," he said, "I want you to repeat with me the sinner's prayer. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to bring forth salvation into you and cleanse you from all your sins." And I thought, "Dad, you're not talking to anybody." And then he said, "And now my boys are going to come and sing, 'No one cares for you like Jesus.'" I mean, here we were singing to the air. 25 years went by. I'm now pastoring in Oklahoma City area. The phone rings. It's my dad on the phone from Africa, Pretoria, yelling, "Stephen, I didn't miss it." I said, "Dad, what are you talking about?" "I didn't miss it." 25 years. He said, "You remember when I preached on that street corner down by the docks down in Cape Town?" And he said, "There was nobody listening." I said, "Yes. I didn't miss it, Stephen." I said, "Tell me what happened, Dad." He said, "I was at a pastor's conference in Pretoria, South Africa, and a man was giving his testimony how he had left his family, became an alcoholic, and he went down to Cape Town, South Africa, and he destroyed his whole family, as it were. And he said he went that day and bought a gun, a pistol, and a bottle of whiskey. And he said, "I wrote a suicide note, and I said to my wife, 'You're not responsible for this. But I'm going to end my life so you can move on with your lives.'" And he said, "I staggered out of that old hotel." And this is the man standing in a conference, pastor's conference, giving his testimony. And he said, "I heard a man preaching, 'No one cares for you like Jesus.' And I heard three boys singing. He said, I was so ashamed. I went on down around the steps, down around the corner, and stood in the dark of the night. And I stood there shaking and tears running down my face. I couldn't go to the beach and blow my brains out. He said, I stood and waited till they left. And I went down, got back into my room on my knees and prayed that sinner's prayer. And he said, I couldn't kill myself. He said, I lost any taste for the whiskey. He got a hold of his wife back in Pretoria and said, forgive me, I'm coming home. And he said, I would to God that I could meet that man that heard the voice of God and preached to the thin air. And my dad stood up in the congregation. He said, brother, that was me. That was the night I obeyed God. He said, for 25 years, I thought I had missed God, but I see I haven't. And he said, sir, tell me, what are you doing now? He said, I'm a pastor of a church in Pretoria. I want you to know your small step of obedience with God in the realm that we're living in America and around the world can shake lives into the kingdom of God because of your obedience. Oh, hallelujah. What glorious times that we're living in. Seeing the handiwork of God. You haven't missed it, my friends. The handshake, the smile, the hug, the word of encouragement. It is 1,000 times more impacted by the Spirit of God. As you speak the word of truth, it goes forth with power and majesty into the darkened world that we live in and bring light. So be faithful, dads, in hearing the voice of God. Don't look for the adulation and the fanfare of the world come upon you, everything you do. Most of it is in silence. Most of it is in obedience, doing the things that God wants you to do and walking with Him. I know my time is fastly going, but in the third chapter of the book of Joshua, you know well the story of how Joshua has now been thrust into the leadership of the children of Israel with the awesome task of leading them into the promised land. Moses has gone to his reward. Notice what he said to the children of Israel, to the Levites. He said, sanctify yourselves, because it was the time of going into the promise that had been prophesied for many hundreds of years. He told the Levites, you're to do a task that does not compute with your reasoning. We're going to cross the Jordan River at its maximum capacity of flooding. And you are to cleanse yourselves, to pick up the Ark of the Covenant, and you are to walk to cross over the Jordan River. Can you imagine the Levites' warning? But Joshua, this is your first task of leadership. Listen to reasoning. Wait till the flood tide is over, when it's shallow. God will challenge you to the greatest task that's over your head, but that which is over your head is under Jesus' feet. Because the challenge is to reveal the supernatural God that we serve. I believe that God is calling fathers in the body of Christ and around the world to step into that place to accomplish the impossible that God is destined for you to do. Everything is not hunky-dory, as we say in New Zealand. That means everything is beautiful. There are times you will make decisions that goes contrary to the reasoning. But if the Holy Spirit is impressing you, step into it. Step into it. Notice what Joshua said to the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. cleanse your garments. God's calling the body of Christ into cleansing themselves, purifying themselves to do the supernatural. And the Levites took the Ark of the Covenant, and he told the children of Israel, you keep at least over 1,000 yards beyond, behind the Ark of the Covenant, because you have not passed this way before. So you keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Keep your eyes on the presence of God. Keep your eyes on God. And you'll know which direction to go. And you know the rest of the story. How when the Levites stepped into the water, carrying the Ark, the water dissipated around their feet. And they stood there till the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. God has challenged fathers in the faith to listen, not only listen, but carry forth those things which God has ordained for him, for the family, and the body of Christ to walk in. We'll see the supernatural. Amen? You want to see the supernatural? Obey him. Obey him. Shall we stand together? Everywhere I go, people are asking me, what's going to happen around the world? What's going on? We're living in those times of the hour of revelations. There will be turmoil, but the peace of God will sustain us and walk with us. We're stepping into a time of the supernatural. And God is calling us to walk in the spirit of faith. And if you're sick this morning or have an ailment this morning, it takes the same faith that you exercised when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you believe that Jesus suffered and died for your sins, and you reached out and you grabbed that revelation and you applied it to your sins dissipated, and your name became written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the Scripture says that Jesus died and suffered upon the cross for the remissions of our sins. But this morning, for your healing, he did the same thing. He was afflicted for your healing. And what God is saying this morning, the same faith that you applied for salvation and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the same faith, Jesus was also afflicted for your healing this morning. Cast it upon him. It's just as powerful as salvation. When I walked in the house today, the words came to my mind that many have already been healed, but they have not released their affliction and let it go, because it's become their identity. They talk about it all the time. It's the way they get attention. What if I get healed? I won't have anything to talk about anymore. You hear what I'm saying? God is in the house as to heal and set free, and a time of releasing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your healing virtue. And we break off any attachment to that affliction that has possessed them. In Jesus' name. Let's just lift our hands towards heaven and give God praise and begin to glorify him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this moment. And as we face the days that are ahead of us, we can lift up our head and we can rejoice knowing that God is in control. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the healing that's taking place right now in your house. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Dr. List. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come and be here when we dismiss. There may be those of you that would like someone to pray with you, to lay hands on you and pray for you. We will be here. And I do want to ask you to pray about blessing Dr. List for being here. We'll have ushers with the baskets as you leave. Or you can give online or through text to give just by using this under speaker. Put the amount. Were you blessed? Always encouraged to hear how God is moving and working. And I just declare over you the word of the Lord this morning. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and do according to that which pleases Him. Amen? So, Father, thank you for this word. We receive it today. We say yes and amen. Lord, we just rejoice in these testimonies. We rejoice in hearing how you've moved in the lives of others. And by faith, we thank you that you are doing the same in each and every believer in this room right now. Help us to be obedient. Help us to hear the Holy Spirit. Help us to expect great things from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless my brothers and sisters. May your grace abound upon them this morning. May your peace guard their hearts and minds. May your gifts flow through them. May your fruit adorn their lives. And may we as your sons and daughters be led by your Holy Spirit, letting our light shine and sharing your love with others. Thank you again for the deposit we have received this morning. And bless the service to follow, we ask. Now, in Jesus' name, go forth and change the world. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. This altar is open if you are in need of prayer. Happy Father's Day.